Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey everyone, it's Billy Morrison and Ozzy Osbourne here. Our new show, The Madhouse Chronicles, is dropping this April. Join us as we watch and react to the maddest internet clips. What do we discuss, Ozzy?
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, all that kind of shit.
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, and all that kinds of shit. Visit osbournemediahouse.com for early access. What do you say? Do you think it's the wildest show on the internet?
Oh.
You're in the madhouse now.
Winnie the Pooh Blood and Honey 2 is in theaters now. Is it an improvement on the first film, or is it just a big piece of, well, poo? The pun writes itself, really. This video is brought to you by Mando. Go to shopmando.com and use promo code Dan for a special offer, and stay tuned after the video for more info. Hello everybody, I'm Dan Merle, here with my review of the sequel to my least favorite movie of 2023. Always great when your least favorite movie of the year gets a quick sequel, isn't it? It's called Winnie the Pooh Blood and Honey 2, and it is the sequel to last year's opportunistic squatter's rights copyright expiring horror film. The sequel is directed once again by Reese Frake Waterfield, who returns as screenwriter, this time along with writer Matt Leslie. Scott Chambers, who's produced both Blood and Honey films under the name Scott Jeffrey, takes over the lead role of Christopher Robin. And in the video introduction that they played before the Fathom event, where I saw Blood and Honey 2 in theaters, he acts as if like it's this big coup. He's like, oh yeah, I'm taking over the lead role in the movie. That's so crazy. Not really. You were already an actor and you produced both movies. It's not really that hard to imagine how you got the lead role in the sequel to your own movie. It'd be like Orson Welles going out in the press in the 1940s and saying, somehow I've managed to land the lead role in a movie called Citizen Kane. Yeah, you produced it. It's not hard to do the math there. That, by the way, is the only comparison to Citizen Kane that this movie will ever receive. If you didn't see the first Winnie the Pooh Blood and Honey, A, you're lucky, and B, you don't really have to waste your time because this is basically a soft reset. At the very least, it's an easy continuation. There's a prologue to catch you up on what's been going on. Basically, Christopher Robin is a suspect in the Hundred Acre Wood massacre that happened in the last movie, but he and the town that he lives in are being stalked by his former childhood friends once again, including Pooh, Piglet, and new additions Owl and Tigger.
They will never cease. They hunt for us. We trusted Christopher.
There's also an attempted meta angle in the movie where they say that there was a movie made of what happened in the last movie, and we actually see that movie. It's sort of like Stab when we saw it in Scream 2, except the movie that we see in the movie is actually the first movie. So we're watching the original Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey, in Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey 2, but it's not supposed to be the same movie because they made some changes. You know, it doesn't even really matter because the meta angle never really pays off. It's not set up that well, nor is it really executed that well. So let's move on. The early buzz on this movie was shock that, with 7 reviews in, Winnie the Pooh Blood and Honey 2 is at 100% on Rotten Tomatoes, despite the fact that the average score for the film is a 6 out of 10, hovering just this side of rotten. And I can't think of a better example of just how flawed the Rotten Tomatoes system really is. Nearly all of the reviews, the positive reviews that I've read, and there are more that are sure to come in as I'm recording this review, have cited the fact that this film is an improvement over the last film. And I can't argue the fact that in many areas, it is an improvement. However, as somebody who also named the first movie the worst movie of 2023, I can also tell you that you couldn't get much worse. I'll give it this. It actually looks like a movie this time. There's competent cinematography, so you can see everything. The prosthetics are improved. There's a musical score and sound mixing that allows you to hear the dialogue. The filmmakers have claimed that the success of the first film gave them 10 times the resources to make this sequel, but that wasn't the problem with the first Winnie the Pooh Blood and Honey. It wasn't some masterpiece that was held back by the constraints of the filmmakers at the time. We're not talking about an Evil Dead, Evil Dead 2 situation here. If you have a garbage fire and you pour gasoline on that garbage fire, that doesn't put the garbage fire out. It just makes the garbage fire look more impressive. That's kind of like the budget for this movie. You can pour 10 times the money into the film, but it doesn't put the garbage fire out. It just makes it look bigger. My main issue with this film is the same as my issue with the last movie, which is a complete and utter lack of imagination. At no point in either of these movies is there an attempt made to put any kind of a clever twist on the characters or the premise. Now, the addition of budget did allow them to up the gore factor, so there are, as I mentioned, some good prosthetics, but they're not even imaginative with that because all they can really think of for their big gore moments are to do head stuff, and by the 10th or 11th decapitation, as impressive as the splatter and the gore may be, it's completely lost its novelty. Money can buy a lot of blood and some really good prosthetics, but it can't buy imagination. It can't buy originality where no originality exists. And a great example of this is Tigger, who's brought into the fold in this movie. And when you think about Tigger, there are a certain number of things that you might think of, the laugh or the bouncing around. This movie does none of that with Tigger. And worst of all, he's a ripoff within a ripoff because all Tigger is in this movie is literally Freddy Krueger. I don't mean a Freddy Krueger knockoff. I mean, he's in a big factory setting. He has long, sharp knife claws and he says bitch every other word. They're doing a ripoff of a parody of Freddy Krueger. At one point, Winnie the Pooh picks up a chainsaw, but then he just literally becomes Leatherface, swinging the chainsaw around for a few minutes. That's what I mean. You could probably come up with something fun or interesting to do with this movie. I'm not necessarily put off by the fact that they're making a Winnie the Pooh horror movie. I'm put off by the fact that they're taking this concept and saying, hey, come see this really novel, original idea, but there's nothing novel or original about it in any way other than the fact that it's like, oh yeah, Pooh Bear. It's an incredibly unoriginal, unimaginative horror film that you wouldn't give a second look if it didn't have the Winnie the Pooh name on it. And the thing that's most frustrating about this strategy is that it's working. A lot of the screen time in this movie is devoted to sincere world building to make us understand where these creatures come from, and that's because it's all part of a larger universe. Before the movie started, there was a little bit of an intro, and the masterminds behind this film gave us a preview of the extended universe, and this is not a joke. They have a Bambi killer deer movie coming out. They have a Pinocchio movie coming out where he takes somebody's skin off so he can become a real boy. They have a Peter Pan movie coming out where Tinkerbell snorts heroin instead of fairy dust. There's a third Winnie the Pooh Blood and Honey planned. Then next year they're planning to make a movie called Pooniverse, Monsters Assembled. Again, that's not a joke, bringing together all of those different characters, plus characters like the Mad Hatter and Sleeping Beauty into some sort of an Avengers-style culmination of garbage. And it was when they were in their third or fourth minute of pitching this extended universe that I realized I'm in hell. If I died and I went to a very bad place, but I was still a movie critic, my eternal punishment would be to sit and have to watch this franchise expand over and over for eternity, with each successive installment being more successful than the one before it. That would be my eternal punishment. But as far as I know, I'm not in hell, and that universe is happening anyway to, I'm sure, the enrichment of the filmmakers behind it. And you can tell that they really enjoyed the largesse of having all these resources, especially in the third act when they had a big rave scene that allowed for a lot of very scantily clad women, a lot of them with their boobs just out to writhe around to the music. And there's some, you know, you get the camera up really close. Michael Bay would have been very proud of that part of the movie. And look, every time I give a bad review to a movie like this, I get the same response in the comments saying, why are you so critical? What did you expect going into this movie? The Godfather? And I can assure you that I would never walk into a movie called Winnie the Pooh Blood and Honey 2 expecting The Godfather. Here's what I think is fair to expect though: imagination, originality, a well-told story, inventive kills, a sense of fun given the premise, something that surprises me or engages me or shows me something that I haven't seen before or shows me that they have an interest in doing anything beyond cashing in on IP that just happens to fall into the public domain. And this movie offers me none of that. It's not as bad as the first movie, simply because the aesthetics have improved, but I think it's still a really, really bad movie. And a lot of people give me the feedback of just, well, shut up and like it. I won't shut up, and I definitely won't like this movie. And under the right circumstances, I love schlock. I love movies like Shoot 'Em Up or Lake Placid that are fully aware of what they are and lean into that. I also love innocent schlock like Birdemic or Plan 9 from Outer Space that are made by incompetent filmmakers who really are trying their very best. This isn't that. And I don't even think this is schlock. I think this is a cynical exercise to wring cash out of a low-effort horror film. I hate it for what it is, and I hate it for what it stands for. I think it's the equivalent of a cinematic get-rich-quick scheme. It's obvious that there are some critics that were impressed by this film, by the fact that this movie does indeed look better than the last one and has some tangible improvements. But when you look under the surface, this is the same cynical exercise as the last movie, and in my opinion, not an improvement at all in that respect. And so, as the last one would have if I'd had my rating system in place last year, this gets an enthusiastic stay away from me. I don't think it's even enjoyable on a cheesy horror film level. I just really, really don't like these movies. I don't know, maybe this is the last one I'll go see. I decided to go see this one because I'd heard that it was supposed to be better, and I thought, well, maybe with some more resources, like, no, it's the same garbage as the last movie. It just looks a lot better. So those are my thoughts on Winnie the Pooh Blood and Honey 2. I know they're very nuanced thoughts. It's hard to really figure out what I'm trying to take away from that. What do you think? Do you not care? Are you just going to go see it anyway? Let me know down in the comments below. And before we go, I want to thank the sponsor for this video, Mando. It's hard to believe, but we're steaming towards summer movie season real fast, and that means temperatures are rising too. And if you're like me, summer is a sweaty, potentially smelly season. But this summer, I'll be using Mando. Mando Whole Body Deodorant is helping men conquer their odor in a new way because it's formulated with mandelic acid, which gives Mando long-lasting 72-hour odor control that actually stops odor before it starts. I've been working out a little bit more lately, which means I'm pouring sweat, but I haven't had to worry about jumping into the shower the instant I'm done. It's nice to have that cool-down time knowing that I won't be leaving behind an unpleasant smell. And I really like the way that Mando smells. I have a solid stick deodorant, a bar for the shower, and even some deodorant wipes that I can take on the go for any part of my body I think might need it. If you're new to Mando, their starter pack is perfect. You get a solid stick deodorant, cream tube deodorant, two free products of your choice like mini body wash and deodorant wipes, and free shipping. And I have a discount code to help you get hooked on my favorite smelling whole body deodorant. New customers get $5 off a starter pack with our exclusive code, which means that you're getting over 40% off your starter pack. Use code DAN at shopmando.com. That's shopmando.com. Using code DAN. Mando, it's time to smell better naked. Thanks to Mando for sponsoring this video, and thank you for watching. Hopefully the next movie I review, I'll like a little bit better. I couldn't like it much less. As always, if you like what you see, be sure to share this video, hit the subscribe button, hit the bell. Those are all things that help the channel grow. Thanks for spending part of your time here with me. Until next time, stay safe, and I'll see you then. Bye.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.